Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
And God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
I watched my mother become herself. I watched my mother come alive. I watched her discover her gifts. I watched her eyes sparkle when she returned from a meeting or a trip. I listened to her bubbling over with passion about what she was reading or what she was learning. And as I watched her, I promised that I would follow this new example that she was leaving for me.
Welcome to another edition of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons. And today we are going to learn about what does it mean for us to pursue our callings and to understand that God's called every single one of us to be a part of his redemptive plan in the world, to really be a part of how he's trying to renew creation, renew the world, and affect and transform not only people's lives, but every area of the culture. And part of how we're going to do that today is hearing a very personal story, a personal story from Shauna Nyquist. Now, if you've not heard of Shauna, she's an incredible author. She's also a pretty amazing chef who lives in the Chicago area. But many of you probably have heard of her father. And if you haven't heard of Shauna, you've certainly heard of Bill Hybels, who's the lead pastor, the founding church planting pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, a church that has grown over the last 35 years into a church that's touched so many people's lives. It's shaped the way many think about even the purpose of church in terms of really being the first to welcome seekers and to use that kind of language and say, we really care about those who aren't that churched, having an opportunity to experience the truth of God's word in an environment that they could enjoy and could be appealing at a moment when many were rejecting church. And Shauna grew up in this environment. So she's somebody who's always had parents that were pioneering. They were people who were pursuing the calling God had put on their heart. And Bill is known for that. He's known for his incredible leadership ability and the way in which he's been able to impact so many people by pursuing the thing God put in his heart. Now, what's interesting, as you hear this talk by Shauna, she's actually reflecting back on her relationship with her mom and some things that she learned and just kind of picked up throughout her life that her and her mom have now been able to reflect on. You see, Shauna's mother, Lynn, is somebody who you would just assume as the wife of Bill was pursuing her calling, was living it out, was fully fulfilled and enjoying it, even as she was raising children in a part of this large church that so many were looking to and saw as influential in really the evangelical church movement. And yet what Shauna reveals is a side to the quietness and the side nobody would see in the lights or on the stage about how her family actually was experiencing those moments. And it's actually really impacting to hear Shauna talk about what she learned from her mother. And in fact, this talk is called What I Learned from My Mother. It's an 18-minute talk where we're going to get to kind of go behind the scenes and see what was it like growing up in that home and what were some of the conversations that weren't able to happen between Shauna and her mom until Shauna reached adulthood. I think you're going to find this incredibly encouraging. If you're somebody listening, like, think about your own relationship with your mother. Think about how that relationship has encouraged you. And think about even sending this episode to them so that they can listen to it and just see how a relationship like this over many, many years can still flourish and bring about incredible truths and authenticity. So let's listen in to Shauna Nyquist with What I Learned from My Mother.
I don't talk about my parents very often, mostly because they have kind of their own public lives, and I want to be respectful of that. But Rebecca asked me to specifically several months ago, and she said, there's this part of your family's life that I've heard you talk about around the dinner table when we spend time together, and I think it's an important story. She said, I want you to tell just this cozy, tiny little group of women in New York City in November. And I said, for you and for this tiny, tiny little group of women, I will do that. And then she said, also another place, slightly less tiny. So here we are, because my friend asked me. But I'm so thankful for my parents. And what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about the legacy that they've given to me and the journey that I got to go on as I have followed along in their journey. So I'm going to tell you about what my mother taught me. Everybody knows those kids who peak like in middle school or high school or college. My mom is 62 years old. I'm sure she's super thrilled that I just told you all that. She's 62. She has never been more alive, never been more whole, never more filled to the brim with passion and energy and vision for God's place and his calling in her life. My mom is a global soul, a poet, an activist, a woman of creativity and conviction and vision, a woman I aspire to be like in a million ways. Over the years, she's been a social worker, a flutist, a stay-at-home mom, a writer, an editor, an oil painter, a potter, a world traveler, a contemplative, and a volunteer global ministry leader. She's an avid reader and involved in Loving Grandma, a leading expert in the American Christian community on peacemaking in the Middle East. The last few years, she's been to the Congo and the Middle East several times each. Last summer, she was inspired to make a specific, concrete difference in the lives of Congolese women. And so she raised money and trained all summer with a goal of kayaking 36 nautical miles in one day, lighthouse to lighthouse on the shores of Lake Michigan. She trained all summer, but on the day that she chose, the water was cold and choppy and the wind kicked up at the end of the day. At the halfway point, her partner gave up. Her partner was 25. My mom continued until at the 32-mile mark, my dad said, "I have to pull you out of the water." He was following her in the boat, and the waves were so big that he couldn't see her in between the waves. It was dark, and he said, "We have to pull you out." And she said no. And if you know her, that's exactly what she would say in that situation. He eventually persuaded her. He got her in the boat, and then when the sun rose the next morning, she finished 4 more miles. She loves to arrange flowers. She loves to paint with her grandsons, my sons. She loves to travel to the darkest places on earth and bring their stories back home to us. Before all that, though, before she was all of those things, she was a sensitive, introverted girl born in Michigan in the 1950s, raised in a very traditional church environment, one that valued niceness above all else. Also fear of God and fear of hell, but more than anything, niceness. My mom, then Lynn Berry, married my dad, Bill Hybels, when they were 22. Together, they started a church called Willow Creek when they were 23. And when they were 24, I was born. Surprise! My dad was a business major turned Bible major turned seminary dropout. My mom was a social work major. And together, they dreamed of a church that was truly creative and truly holistic, that spoke a new language for a new generation. Their fledgling community needed leaders, and while they had not yet agreed upon their theology of gender, they gave leadership roles to the most spiritually mature people in the community. Many of them were women. At the same time, they commissioned their elder team to do an 18-month scriptural study about women in church leadership led by Dr. Gilbert Belazikian. He was an elder at our church, a Wheaton College professor, my dad's mentor, and very much a grandfather to me. And that study led them to an explicitly stated core value of non-gender-based giftedness. An explicitly stated core value of non-gender-based giftedness. It eventually became the book Beyond Sex Roles. And in both practice and policy, our church has been, from its earliest days, led and shaped and taught and eldered by men and women together. I grew up being taught by women. Led by women. I watched women baptize and officiate weddings and administer communion, and I didn't know until I went away to college that that was not the same in every church and for all women. I was shocked and I was heartbroken. It had never occurred to me that so many people just like me were being sidelined, were unable to develop the gifts that God gave them, and unable to use those gifts within the context of church life. As our church grew all those years ago, while my mom had the full support of our church's core value of non-gender-based giftedness, it was the practical concerns that pushed her further and further from her role as founder into primary caregiving parent and home manager. My dad's intense schedule and my mom's traditional upbringing urged them into strict gender roles. My dad was at church a lot. My mom was at home always. She was an excellent caregiver, an attentive and gentle mother, a loving parent, but in her own words, she was not happy. We had a good, good mom, but we did not have a happy one. 17 years after she became a pastor's wife, she walked into a counselor's office and said, "I don't have any idea who I am anymore. Something serious has to change." This is what she says about it in her own words. "What's so sad is that when women fail to take their lives seriously, no one wins. Our kids didn't win. They got a conscientious, devoted mother who picked up after them and made sure they got their homework done. They got a mother who adored them, prayed for them, always wanted the best for them, but they didn't have a happy mother. They didn't get a fun mother. They didn't get to see up close and personal a woman fully alive in God." She says, "My son needed to see that, but even more, my daughter needed to see that. She needed to see me operating out of strength and passion, and I couldn't give her that. If I had to do it over, I would not have waited so long to find my passions, my voice, and my vocation. I would not have robbed my daughter of the model of an authentically alive woman." Because most women that I know are really good at giving, and we should be good at giving. We follow in the way of a Savior who gave himself for the world. But Jesus didn't give indiscriminately. He didn't give people everything they wanted. He knew his calling from the Father. He knew the unique shape of the redemptive gift that he was called to give to the world. I believe that too many women give themselves away bits and pieces indiscriminately for years and years. And then they never have the time or the energy to discern their unique calling from God. They never have the time or the energy to play the redemptive role that they're gifted and impassioned to play. The result, then, is a lot of good-hearted, devout Christian women who are exhausted and simultaneously depressed. Little by little, my mom began to look inside of herself to consider for the first time in almost 20 years what it was she really loved, what she was made to do. Through trial and error, through counseling, through prayer and friendship and hard work, she rediscovered the gifts and the passions that drew her to social work and to church planting so many years ago. She began to serve with our urban partners in the city of Chicago, took trips to Latin America, and what she found is that she felt more alive in a squalid shanty town in Mexico, passing out canned peaches to barefoot, beautiful children than she did in the affluent suburbs that we lived in. She found that her gifts, the way God made her, were about helping people in need, not administrating carpool schedules. Though she couldn't give up the carpool schedule entirely, she found that she was far less drained by it when she was able to use those gifts and passions a couple times a week or a couple times a month. This journey that she was on started when I was 14 years old. I was just learning what it meant to be a woman, and I was watching the most important woman in my life redefine her own definition of that same thing.
You're listening to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, and we're right in the middle of this 18-minute Q talk by Shauna Nyquist, who's just revealed really her mom starting to awaken to her calling as an adult. And I've been through this experience myself where my wife, Rebecca, who, as I was pursuing my calling as the husband, and she was playing the role of taking care of the children and trying to be the supportive wife, realizing that that actually wasn't all that she was made for, that was so much more. And I know as a husband, sometimes we just run off because the world sort of caters to men going after their passions and their callings. But sometimes we don't pause long enough to stop and go, well, wait, God's made every single one of us in his image, and he wants each of us to experience that kind of flourishing. And we need to be a part of helping our spouses unpack that. And so that began for Rebecca and I, this journey of her going through a process of really remembering how God's made her, remembering her passions, thinking about her burdens, and starting to find where those things come together. And even in adulthood, you can start to experience incredible freedom and fulfillment when you step into what God has for you. Well, that's what's happening with Lynn Hybels, as Shauna's starting to describe. And it doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter how much time you have to devote to it. She's starting to reveal that, look, just giving a little bit of energy, a little bit of time, to the thing God's put in your heart starts to create so much freedom and starts to give you this understanding of the way God's economy works and how he wants to use all of us as partners with him in his efforts to renew the world. And so let's continue to listen in to the conclusion of this talk. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you a few questions about ways in which you can go pursue thinking about this for yourself. So let's listen in now.
Watching my mother as a young teenager gave me a front row to the hard, messy, beautiful, important transformation. I watched my mother become herself. I watched my mother come alive. I watched her discover her gifts. I watched her eyes sparkle when she returned from a meeting or a trip. I listened to her bubbling over with passion about what she was reading or what she was learning. And as I watched her, I promised that I would follow this new example that she was leaving for me, to pay attention to my own gifts and passions. The life I was seeing in her for the first time was so inspiring to me, and I wanted to follow that journey. Because for all those years, it wasn't narrow theological boundaries that kept my mom from pursuing her gifts and passions. Essentially, it was logistics. It was the overwhelming practical concerns. Both my mom and my dad look back now with great regret that they allowed the logistical challenge of raising young children to fall primarily on her. They're the first to say they wish they would have worked so much harder to find creative solutions for the practical concerns so that they both could have pursued their passions. What my mom taught me is that it's worth the hard work of rearranging the practicalities. It seems overwhelming. It seems easier or simpler or cleaner to opt out entirely for a while, to put my own voice on hold for a while, to sort it out later. But my mom and her voice in my life and her example in my life would never let me do that. And part of her fire for that is because she knows firsthand how painful life is when you're not living out of your passions. I told her that I was telling these stories today, stories about her life and my life, and how they connect, and her example to me as a woman. And I asked her what I should tell you. And this is what she said. You tell them. You tell them I found my voice in my 40s and my vocation in my 50s. So the good news is it's not too late for any one of you, man or woman. It's not too late for any one of you. But if at all possible, don't wait that long. Don't wait the decades that I did, decades of depression and exhaustion. She said it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You tell them that just because in one season or another you can't put 40 hours a week into this or that work, doesn't mean you give it up entirely. Whatever your season, put in 4 hours a week or 4 hours a month. If you keep those dreams alive, they will sustain you along the way. She said, you tell them that my friends and I were late to this game. We raised our kids and supported our husband's dreams and put our own dreams way up on shelves. And now we're discovering we could have lived out those dreams all along the way. We could have been nurses or welders or college professors along the way. For real, three of my mom's best friends have, in their 50s and 60s, rediscovered their deeply held, long-held passions. And one has become a nurse. And one has become a welder. And one has become an academic. I've grown up with these women. They threw me baby showers and wedding showers. They've known me all my life, and they remind me over and over, you don't have to do what we did. You don't have to wait till you're 40 or 50 or an empty nester. We've missed out on so much. She said, tell them not to let logistics stand in the way of calling. Tell them not to let logistics stand in the way of calling. It's not worth it. My parents look at how my husband and I and many of our friends are struggling to shape our marriages and our family lives in a new way. And they say to us over and over, don't give up. What you're doing is important. My husband Aaron is building something new at our church this year, and I've intentionally, prayerfully, joyfully changed my own work life and commitments so that I can be a part of it with him. I'm there every week. I hand out programs in the back. I watch my husband do the thing that God has called him to do. And I'm thrilled to do it because my husband, Aaron, has done the same thing for me a dozen times in the dozen years that we've been married. When a book has come out or when I've had a busy travel season, because we're learning from my parents to make space for two callings in one home and in one marriage. I'll be the first one to tell you it's not easy. I'll be the first one to tell you it's complicated. It's difficult to navigate two callings, especially with two little children in our home. But if I tried to put my vocation on hold for any amount of time, my mother would be the first one to show up on my doorstep and say, "No way." I didn't walk that long path of depression and passionless days so that you can recreate them. You don't have to do it the way I did it, so please don't. She would say, "Write till your fingers bleed, tell stories till your voice runs out, because it's what you were made to do, mother or not, woman or not." If I tried to shelve my gifts for any amount of time, if I tried to give back the voice and the calling God gave me, she would be the first in line to say, "Get back to work." Because it fills you, because you love it, because it helps people, because you're you when you do it. At the heart of it, what my mom taught me is that everyone benefits when women tap into the passions and use the gifts that God has given them. The church benefits, families benefit, marriages benefit, businesses and nonprofits benefit. Everyone wins when women discover and live out of the gifts and the passions that God gave them. And this isn't only about gender. This is about calling for men and for women. Every one of us has been created by the hands of a holy God on purpose and for a purpose. You've been called to do something to shape the world that we live in. And there's not a person in this room who's too old or too young. There's not a person in this room who's too poor or too privileged. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done, what you messed up along the way. You've been called and created, every one of us, by a holy God, and this world needs you. It's about so much more than gender. I understand the temptation to sit on the sidelines of your own life because the logistics are complicated. We have a 2-year-old who just learned how to take off his own diaper. I understand complicated. I understand wanting to throw away your calling because you're scared out of your mind, because people might think you're crazy, or because you might be afraid you'll never live up to your parents' legacy. For example, maybe you've had a whole career in one direction, but you feel your heart pulling in another. Maybe you feel alone or scared or like you don't have what you need to start, but what are we going to do? What option do we have? Are we going to leave the world changing and the kingdom building to the people who don't have logistical challenges? Are we going to leave those things to the people who aren't scared, to the people who are perfectly prepared? There aren't any of those people. If we left the world changing and the storytelling and the songwriting and the movement making to the sure, the perfect, the never afraid, none of it would happen. Maybe today you are as depressed and hopeless as my mom was all those years ago, and it's hard to believe that your life could change. Your life can change. It's what my mother taught me. If you live a life of radical and honest prayer, if you allow yourself to be led by God's Spirit, no matter how far from home and familiarity it takes you, you won't ever have to worry about what you want to be when you grow up, because you'll be too busy living a life of passion and daring, a celebration of createdness and calling, a love song to the God who made you on purpose and for a purpose, the God who created you from dust, who offers you to the world an offering of healing and of love. That's what my mother taught me.
What a cool story to hear Shauna describe her mother in such respectful terms, but these authentic ways of understanding that we can find calling no matter what age we are. And Lynn, her mom, has made an incredible difference as a peacemaker, doing so much work around the world now as she stepped into it and experiencing a lot of freedom and leading so many people to it. And that's what we want for you as you're listening. There's a couple questions that come to mind that were critical in my journey, in my wife Rebecca's journey. In fact, she chronicles this in her first book, Free Fall to Fly, where she speaks really to this topic of women finding their calling and permission to pursue it. But one of the obvious questions is to say, what are my talents? What are the things God's designed me uniquely to do? Not just skills I've learned, but actually talents. But then also, what are my burdens? You know, what are the things that keep you up at night, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you just can't get it off your mind, or maybe you shed tears over this. Maybe it's a part of your own journey where you've experienced personal suffering and pain. And the reality is, as Christians, we understand God wants to use that and renew it and redeem it to actually help others. And so we get to, as Christians, understand that God's not only making all things new, he's making us new, and he's going to use that pain and brokenness that the enemy meant for harm. He's going to use it for good. So consider for yourself your talents, your burdens, and ask God to reveal to you, where is it that you should step into calling? What's a conversation maybe you can have with a close friend or confidant or a spouse to say, help me discover this? And as you do that at Q, we want to be your partner in thinking about this. There's so many talks online at qideas.org of hearing people who've actually stepped into their calling, no matter what industry it might be. It can be from fashion to politics to teachers in education to those doing incredible social justice work. But you can see all kinds of stories playing out of people who are living into that calling. And that's going to be on full display at our annual conference called Q 2017, April 26 to 28 in Nashville, Tennessee. And we want to invite you to join us. The special rates are still available. If you go online, qideas.org/2017, get registered, bring your friends, bring people together who want to be inspired to consider how is God changing the world through just ordinary people who are stepping into their callings. And we invite you to be with us there. Well, I'm Gabe Lyons. It's been wonderful to get to spend these few minutes with you. And we hope you have a wonderful week as you pursue all that God has for you as you step into your calling. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.